broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No doubt available on your radio. This is Hour 2 of 2, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country. This is the broadcast for November the 16th in the year of our Lord, 2019. And, man, have we got a lot to focus on today. I mean, it is shocking how much news there is in the media. I mean, it is crazy town what's going on in America. People are going to jail and left and right. And it's all the freedom folks going to jail, I might add. So we're talking about these two stories. We had Alan Phillips last hour talking about the National Vaccine Injury Event. The Vaccine Injury Epidemic Conference in Washington, D.C. The mainstream press didn't tell you anything about that. But literally, fetus tissues are used in vaccinations. Did you know that? Aborted fetuses are in your vaccinations, folks. And if you're a conscientious objector to vaccinations on that point, or whether you have religious objections, or whether you just don't trust them, whatever, they tell you they're safe and effective, but the Vaccine Injury Compensation Fund has spent about $4 billion-plus dollars when vaccines go wrong and they're not safe and they're not effective in private courts, so you don't know about it, funded by your tax dollars. And so there's serious problems with the transparency in the vaccine movement. But I bring that up because these fetal tissues are used in vaccines. Well, now, jury just rendered a verdict yesterday, Friday, against pro-life activists in Planned Parenthood baby parts case. Troy Newman, president of Operation Rescue, is fined $870,000. The jury slam dunked in defense of Planned Parenthood. Newman maintains that his participation was completely legal, and he's going to appeal. The judge in the case, William Orrick, is compromised. He's been found in other cases helping out Planned Parenthood many times. His wife literally tampered with witnesses and attacked the defendants during the trial. It was clear during the hearing that Planned Parenthood did harvest and sell infant body parts, folks. Okay, but this is the end of undercover journalism as long as this is allowed to stand. Okay, if this decision stands, not only will Planned Parenthood and legal abortions be able to practice their cannibalistic baby body parts trade with impunity, they'll be able to be using funds from the courts and the pro-lifers to get it done. Adding insult to injury, we already pay for this with our tax dollars. But believe it or not, the whistleblowers in this case, it's ironic that whistleblowers are being promoted right now in secrecy and protecting their names. Okay, but anyways, ABC went undercover and had an ABC 2020 report. Human baby body parts for sale even documents ABC. What's interesting is the ABC folks aren't going to jail, but they had hidden cameras too. And we're playing this 12-minute segment from ABC documenting these baby part selling and reselling agreements. And they said a lot of our evidence comes from this doctor. Listen to this.
Some of the most troubling evidence we found came from our undercover conversation with Dr. Jones. Here, he explains how easy it is to talk a woman into donating a fetus.
You can do something that's got all the legal mumbo-jumbo in it, and they'll sign it anyway. If you have someone trained to ask properly, you can get 80-90% consent rates.
His dream, he said, is to run his own clinic in Mexico, where he could get a greater supply of fetal tissue by offering cheaper abortions.
If you control the flow, it's probably the equivalent of the invention of the assembly line.
We showed Dr. Jones's comments to Congressman Thomas Bliley, chairman of the House Commerce Committee.
Terrible. Just absolutely terrible.
After hearing allegations of illegal activity, Bliley's committee is now investigating four companies, and he says has found evidence the tissue is being sold for profit.
We are interested that...
So let me get this straight. ABC does an undercover story with a hidden camera. Nobody goes to jail. Nobody's fine. No problem. They find the truth. that you got this baby body parts buying and selling flat out criminal activity against the law. They document it, turn it over to a congressional committee who doubles down and confirms the same thing. Sandra Merritt and others in this case in California undercover, proving that Planned Parenthood is involved in this scandal. And the jury defends Planned Parenthood and shuts down the pro-life activists who proved in court that Planned Parenthood is involved, and this is absolutely going on.
People who do this recover their legitimate costs. It appears that it's more than that, that it comes down to trafficking in tissue parts, in body parts.
Bliley is pro-life, but even the most ardent pro-choice advocates, like Planned Parenthood President Gloria Felt, are disturbed by what we found.
Now, that's a lie. She pretends she's disturbed on camera with ABC, but we've proven in court they're not disturbed. They're talking about buying Lamborghinis and talking about having a good time with all the extra money they're going to make. They're not shocked at all. If they were, they would stop it and clean it up. But no, they double down and get court backing for their criminal activity. She's acting shocked here, but that's a lie.
Seems inappropriate, totally inappropriate.
Okay, now by Planned Parenthood saying it's inappropriate?
It seems inappropriate, totally inappropriate. Where there is wrongdoing, it should be prosecuted, and people who are doing that kind of thing should be brought to justice.
Okay, so these people try to bring them to justice, but Planned Parenthood doubles down with crack lawyers and shuts down the pro-life folks documenting this behavior. No accountability whatsoever. She's lying to you.
We wanted to talk with some of these fetal tissue businessmen. When we called Dr. Jones for an interview, he hung up on us. But James Bardsley of AGF said his nonprofit company recently got out of the business. He maintained his fees, which were lower than Jones's, were reasonable, and that AGF never asked anyone to take tissue without consent. And he suggested Alberti is angry because AGF sued him over a business dispute. Did AGF ever encourage doctors to alter the way they did abortions to get better specimens?
No, absolutely not. First of all,
okay, so this guy says no, and whether his company did or not, I don't know. I don't know if he's lying or not, but I know this. In Planned Parenthood, they proved that that is the case. Congress proved that is the case. Whether his company's involved or not, I don't know, but Planned Parenthood is.
Illegal.
But wasn't AGF supplying those special syringes to get better tissue?
Yeah, that's the logical conclusion that you would draw. I don't believe that was altering the abortion technique.
Doesn't this special syringe add as much as 15 minutes to the length of the abortion?
I don't know.
Oh, sure you do.
In some cases, perhaps, it takes longer.
Bardsley later sent us this letter saying the Kansas...
Okay, so his credibility is in crisis. He says he doesn't know if using the syringe takes longer. He knows. He knows. And he waffled on that. So if he's lying about that, or not being candid about that, he was forced to admit to some degree, yes, but he said he didn't know a second ago. Okay, now I believe the guy's lying on the other part too, because he got caught lying right there.
His clinic already used syringes, and that AGF provided special ones just to keep tissue sterile. The clinic finally severed its ties with AGF and later opening lines.
Oh, yeah.
But that came too late for Cindy Smith. All she thinks about is what happened to her twins.
It's just wrong for someone to be making money off the debt. I didn't want somebody to profit off of my heartache. It makes me almost feel like the one good thing I did really wasn't that good after all.
Tomorrow, a congressional subcommittee will hold a hearing on fetal tissue trafficking. And Dean Alberti, the whistleblower from inside the business, will be the star witness. As for Dr. Miles Jones, he's been subpoenaed to testify but has not responded. Investigators say if he fails to show up, Jones could be held in contempt of Congress. Charlie?
Chris, if there are laws on the books on this subject, why is it still going on? Why hasn't something been done?
It's a question we kept asking in this investigation. We couldn't find anyone in the federal government enforcing those laws, which is why tomorrow's hearing is such an important first step.
So right, I wish Donald would enforce the laws. I'm glad and grateful for ABC doing this report. Thank you, ABC. Good work. But you know what, folks? This is going on with impunity. And now not only do you have a situation where the Congress isn't stopping it, the laws on the books aren't being enforced. criminals are performing these partial birth abortions and harvesting organs, and Planned Parenthood's doing it. Not only is Congress not doing anything to stop it, but as best I can tell, ladies and gentlemen, the folks who are blowing the whistle are now going to jail and being fined. Jury renders verdict against pro-life activists in Planned Parenthood baby parts case. Troy Newman, president of operations of Operation Rescue, is found liable for $870,000 and millions more. They plan to appeal and fight, but the California courts are off the rails. Where's Congress to step in and say, well, hey, the courts in California may do nothing about it, but we will. This is violating the law. All right. The judge in the case is compromised. All right. Planned Parenthood did indeed traffic in body parts. It's clear and proven in a court of law. But the miscarriage of justice doubles down and punishes those who document this evil satanic practice. Folks, this is the end of undercover journalism, some are saying, if we don't do something about this. If this decision stands, not only will abortionists be able to make money on body parts with impunity, saying, oh, you've already, what are you going to do, sue us? We already went to court and won on this thing. Shut up and sit down. Okay, right on through to now the taxpayer-funded Planned Parenthood and the court money from pro-life activists will be used to fund this. ABC reporting the body parts for sale. This is beyond documented, folks. But the criminals run free. And the freedom fighters, political prisoners, political fines, and more.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues that affect the American West, its people, lifestyles, lands, and wildlife. The Loving Liberty Radio Network is proud to support the publisher's efforts to provide an active forum for solutions that preserve the vanishing American cowboy, farmer, and sheepherder. Each issue contains informative articles on life in the American West, along with breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of the cowboy spirit in our day. Each issue of Range Magazine also features great gift ideas, like the 2020 Real Buckaroo Calendar and the book Tales from Out There. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Just click on the shopping cart. The Loving Liberty Radio Network salutes the spirit of the American West and those who are keeping it alive at Range Magazine. Can you confidently answer the question, was Jesus a socialist? Join us on Saturday morning, December 14th at Liberty Hall to hear the clear and insightful reply from one of today's leading champions for liberty, Lawrence W. Reed, author of Was Jesus a Socialist? Loving Liberty Incorporated is honored to present Dr. Reed for this kickoff event of Liberty Hall Lectures, Saturday, December 14th, 10 o'clock in the morning. It's free and it's timely. No registration is necessary, but seating is limited. Come early. Also, just in time for Christmas, buy 10 or more copies of the 5,000-Year Leap for just $250 each. Just in time for holiday giving. Single copy price is normally $10. Can't join us in person? Tune in to the Loving Liberty Radio Network and hear Dr. Reed live Tuesday afternoons during the Reed Hour and by podcast at lovingliberty.net or on your mobile phone app. Was Jesus a socialist? Find out at the Liberty Hall Lectures, December 14th. Go to lovingliberty.net for details.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, so I brought several things to the table today that the mainstream press flat out not talking about, folks. All right? Well, as you know, Ocasio-Cortez came out and blatantly admitted on CNN that the impeachment proceedings of the Democrats, Hail Mary election strategy, if you will. WorldNet Daily reports on it, but CNN documented it. Pelosi says that Trump may face bribery charge. So they know full well that this is bogus, but the Democrats are saying, you know what, we can't, Donald's going to win. We got to do something. This will bring the House together. We got to stop President Trump. Now, some are saying impeachment will never happen. And I wish that were true. And I think if we have honesty and transparency, it will be true. But as long as we allow these kangaroo courts and as long as we allow these hearsay hearings to continue, there's no telling. For example, One American News spoke with Rand Paul about the alleged whistleblower, right? Rand Paul basically said, hey, we need to know who the whistleblower is. You got to be able to face your accuser. This whistleblower has to document what they really know and what they really don't know. And if there really is criminal activity that this person did over here, then the information was leaked by who to whom? And the leakers should be prosecuted, explains Rand Paul. But again, the good guys are going to jail and the bad guys are running around free. Rand Paul finishes up by saying, so Ukraine says no quid pro quo, but we're supposed to believe Adam Schiff? See, Rand's exactly right on this. Well, so I've brought to you Alan Phillips reporting live from the Vaccine Injury Epidemic Conference in Washington, D.C. that nobody else brought to you. We had a person literally there on scene from Liberty Roundtable Live. We also talked about the jury renders verdict against pro-life activists in Planned Parenthood baby parts case. It was proven, it was clear during the hearing that Planned Parenthood did harvest and sell baby body parts. ABC 2020 did a report and proved that human baby body parts are for sale. Congress has proven it. Committees are looking into it, but zero accountability. Well, now Larry Klayman is documenting that Roger Stone convicted Larry Klayman of Judicial Watch, formerly Freedom Watch, now clearly says Stone convicted, justice done. Now prosecute them criminals. FreedomWatchUSA.org if you want to watch the video on that. Roger Stone guilty on all counts of lying to Congress and witness tampering. This just happened yesterday as well. Stone is out of jail until his sentencing, which takes place in February. He faces up to 20 years in prison, some say 50 years. Trump responds to Roger Stone's conviction and says, quote, what about Crooked Hillary? He tweets. Trump says, so now they convict Roger Stone of lying and want to jail him for many years to come. Well, what about Crooked Hillary? Comey, Strzok, Page, McCabe, Brennan, Clapper, Shifty Schiff. Wow. How about Nellie Steele? How about all the others, including even Mueller himself? Didn't they lie, says President Trump? Well, the answer is yes, they did lie, President Trump. Yes, they did. But that doesn't change whether Stone lied or not. Look, I don't know if this is a kangaroo court or not. I can't answer that. But what I can say is that Larry Klayman was there. And he sat through the trials. And Larry Klayman has a pretty interesting take on what's going on. Here's Larry Klayman.
I spent the last few weeks attending the Roger Stone trial in Washington, D.C. just last Friday. At about 12:30 p.m., he was convicted on 7 counts of perjury, witness tampering, and obstruction of justice. And this comes in the wake, at the same time as impeachment hearings on Capitol Hill concerning the president's so-called quid pro quo with the Ukrainian government to have the Bidens investigated. Now, let's just talk about that and get that out of the way really quickly. Obviously, these impeachment hearings are a sham. The president did a very dumb thing after he was cleared of Russian collusion and getting in bed with Giuliani, his lawyer, and trying to influence the government of the Ukraine to investigate the Bidens. The Bidens, they're nothing, really. I mean, yes, they should be prosecuted for their bribery and corruption, but the president should have stayed off because, frankly, Joe Biden was no threat to him.
There you have it. Larry Klayman sitting through the hearings and saying, hey, Donald made a big mistake. Now, I'm not here to defend or attack anybody, but I am here to highlight the truth. If Roger Stone lied, if Roger Stone did these things, and I don't know, I wasn't there in court, but you know what? He should be prosecuted. And I'm not here to attack or defend Roger Stone. Now, Roger Stone's been a guest on this program before. I liked him. He seemed like a nice guy to me, but I don't know him personally, and I don't have great ties to him. I just know if he did lie to Congress, if he did lie, he needs to be prosecuted for that. But then you got to also kind of say, what did he do? Well, the problem with this whole scenario is the more people surrounding President Trump get attacked, right or wrong, and go to jail, the worse it looks for the president. So you might say, well, hey, we can see that these hearings are a sham. Well, they may be. I agree with that. However, the more people that go to jail, the more they can say, yeah, you know what? It's not a sham. People are going to jail. The longer we're at this, the more people that go to jail. Now we're getting closer to the Donald with the truth. Jones went to jail trying to protect the Donald. Now another one down. More of the truth shall come out. It's hard to disagree with the Democrats on that reality. So right or wrong, I think they're probably going to get the Donald. Here's Larry Klayman continuing.
It's a person by the name of Roger J. Stone. I'm going to explain my experience with Roger Stone later on in the show. I've been relatively quiet about this because there's been a gag order on this trial. I represent Dr. Jerry Corsi. And
now, why the gag order? That's another interesting twist. Again, they're bottling up the evidence. They don't want the truth to come out. That's what makes me wonder if Stone is not guilty. Okay, but I want the truth. If he's guilty, prosecute. But I don't know that we're getting the truth. And with the evidence and the gag orders and all being bottled up and secrecy, and it's hard to say. But nevertheless, the reason that Larry Klayman knows so much about this is he defends our buddy Jerry Corsi or Jerome Corsi. Now, Alex Jones and Roger Stone went against Jerome Corsi. Larry Klayman and Jerome Corsi stood up. We've had Jerome Corsi on this program a lot more than Roger Stone. And Jerome didn't fall for the trap. Listen to this.
Dr. Corsi, of course, was threatened by Robert Mueller with indictment if he didn't lie and implicate the president in Russian collusion.
See, that's what makes me question about Stone's, too. If Robert Mueller's asking people to lie, and then Roger Stone's, what, going to go to jail for lying? The only one that didn't lie was Jerome Corsi.
And Dr. Corsi, as I call him, Jerry, did a very courageous thing. He says, no, I'm not going to plead out to one count of perjury, do no jail time, and then perjure myself to implicate the president. We got Dr. Corsi off the hook. He was never indicted.
Now, by the way, so the moral of this story is never cop a plea, folks. You lose every time. In the Ammon Bundy case, they won. The jury basically saw a scandal going on. The judge had to basically just shut down the case because of the criminal element in the government, lying and withholding evidence and everything else. Okay, but the people who copped the plea went to jail. Ammon and Bundy and the rest who stood strong did not. Same thing. Jerome Corsi stays strong and says, I'm not going to compromise and give you anything. He's never been indicted. He's free now. Roger Stone, jail coming up. So that's the moral of the story is don't ever cop a plea, folks. It's bogus.
Now, he was subpoenaed as a witness by both the prosecution and defense in this case. He didn't testify. I'm going to get into that later. And it was one of the mistakes that was made by the defense. But this is something that you need to understand about Roger Stone, is that Roger Stone has been the advisor, close advisor of Donald Trump for 40 years, was his lobbyist for the gaming industry, involved in many other things. And Stone's conviction just last Friday on 7 counts of perjury, obstruction of justice, and witness tampering, which he could get a maximum sentence for 50 years. The sentencing hearing is going to be held sometime the first week of February. This is a real problem for the president because, you see, the prosecutors may have been out to get the president and Stone for political reasons. Clearly they were. There's no question about it. But when someone commits a crime, when someone lies to Congress under oath, when someone says that, in fact, he doesn't have documents when he does and an investigation is underway, when someone says that he didn't have an intermediary in discussions with WikiLeaks and gives that impression and then won't tell the right name of the right person who actually was an alleged intermediary. And actually, you know, the irony here is there were no intermediaries, but Stone just lied.
There you go. Stone just lied. So I don't have all the truth. I wasn't in court. I don't know. But I know this. I don't trust the courts at all. I don't know what the truth is. But there's bigger problems than just for the president. We'll talk about it all in seconds on your radio.
Pursuing liberty. Using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
President Trump pardoned a former Army commando set to stand trial in the killing of a suspected Afghan bomb maker and a former Army lieutenant convicted of murder. He also promoted a Navy SEAL who was convicted of posing with a dead Iraqi teenager that he stabbed. Eight more witnesses are scheduled to testify next week in the impeachment hearings. On Friday, the former ambassador to Ukraine, Marie Yovanovitch, gave testimony. She responded to questions about the president's criticisms of her.
It's very intimidating.
It's designed to intimidate, is it not?
I mean, I can't speak to what the president is trying to do, but I think the effect is to be intimidating.
As she was testifying, the president took to Twitter to continue criticizing her.
I have the right to speak. I have freedom of speech, just as other people do.
This is USA Radio News.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand and you care about your credit, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it'll take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 6 million people with credit card debt. Without destroying your credit, they can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. The program works. Call Consolidated Credit now. Call 800-406-0046, 800-406-0046. That's 800-406-0046. Consolidated Credit Counseling Services, Inc., 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM 1492, Oregon DM 80092. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation. Commission License Number DC 83. Service may adversely affect an individual's credit. Non-payment of debt may lead to additional finance charges. Charges or collections activity, including legal action, not a loan company.
Gunfire erupted and two people were injured at a high school football game on Friday night in southern New Jersey. The shooting sent people in the stands and players in the field running for their lives. Pleasantville High School was playing Camden High School near Atlantic City. It was in the third quarter, and then this happened. The game was suspended, and a young boy is in serious condition. An adult male was also injured and taken to the hospital. The shooter is still at large. Israel said it has completed a series of airstrikes on targets linked to the Islamic Jihad militant group in Gaza after overnight rocket fire that rattled a day-old truce. The Palestinian territory's Hamas rulers, who kept to the sidelines of this week's fighting, canceled the weekly protests they organized along the perimeter fence without explanation. Israel reiterated that it was willing to abide by the ceasefire if there are no additional rocket attacks. You're listening to USA Radio News.
All right, so we're listening to Larry Klayman break down about Roger Stone. And I'm telling you, this conviction of Roger Stone does not bode well for the president, ladies and gentlemen. They're getting closer and closer to the Donald. Is it a sham hearing? Absolutely. Is the impeachment proceedings bogus? Without doubt. Nevertheless, the more they continue to pick at this and get people to testify and things like that, they're building a case in the court of public opinion. And I'm telling you, they're building enough and putting enough people in jail to continue the funding and the focus. And eventually, they'll get the Donald if it continues. Not because Donald deserves it, but just like the pro-life activists. Hey, you got enough money and enough manipulated courts and enough dishonest judges and dishonest Congress critters in the swamp, and eventually the swamp will get you. Anyway, Larry Klayman continues about Roger Stone and the implications for the president.
And when you do other things that violate the law, you deserve to be punished. Of course, people on the other side should be punished, too, whether it's Comey, Clapper, Brennan, the Bidens.
Now, see, that's Donald Trump's point. Hey, all those guys are guilty. That's true. But Donald didn't come back and say Roger Stone didn't lie. He just said they're attacking Roger. Well, everybody else is lying. Well, Donald's right. Everybody else is lying. It doesn't change the point. Larry's saying all of them who are involved in illegal activity should be prosecuted and punished.
On the himself. But what is really ironic here is that justice was done. And it's about time that this Justice Department did justice. Remember, it's the Trump Justice Department that actually prosecuted Stone. Isn't that interesting?
The Trump Justice Department prosecuted Roger Stone.
Ironic, because the prosecutors, Aaron Zelinsky, an individual by the name of Kravis, I forget his name right now, and others. They're both very, very skilled prosecutors. There's another one named Miranda. I was sitting there. I watched the trial. And frankly, even though I don't agree with their politics, I had to say to them at the end, I said, you know, as a former justice lawyer, I admire your competence and the way you tried this case. It was done professionally. And even the judge, Amy Berman Jackson, she bent over backwards, contrary to the attacks on her and the jury occurred during this case. Trump, Stone uses his surrogates to attack people. He attacks them for political purposes to try to get advantage. And in fact, Tucker Carlson, who's very close to Stone, trashed the jury just a couple days ago. This is actually jury tampering, and Tucker should be very worried about that because that's a crime in and of itself. But the fact is, it was a fair trial and justice was done. Now, just last night, before this verdict was read by the jurors, at about 12:30 today, Alex Jones opened his big mouth again. You know, I used to like Alex, but Stone used Alex to defame Dr. Corsi and me. He's never apologized. We've brought lawsuits. We've got one against him. We've got one against InfoWars. We've got four against Stone. Because Stone feared Corsi's testimony.
Think about that, Larry. Klayman has lawsuits against all these people.
Testimony in this case. Much like he feared what Randy Credico, the witness who he threatened, and he was convicted for that, suggested that he shouldn't testify falsely. He feared Corsi's testimony, and that's why he defamed Corsi. He tried to intimidate Corsi. That's why he went after his lawyer, Larry Klayman. That's why he had others file bar complaints against Larry Klayman for tactical purposes. In fact, it came up during trial that Stone had threatened Credico with filing a bar complaint against his closest friend and confidant, Margaret Kuntzler, the wife of deceased liberal lawyer William Kuntzler, if Credico didn't lie. You see, so this is Roger Stone. And this, frankly, is a blight. It's a black spot on the president. The prosecutors wove the president into an alleged conspiracy to lie in front of the House committee because what they did was there wasn't any direct testimony on that. But at periods of time when Stone was concocting stories or telling people that he had contacts with WikiLeaks when he may not have and done other things that he later lied about and obstructed justice about, he was having telephone conversations in and around that time with the president. And of course, the president claimed that he had fired Stone, that he was not part of the campaign, but that wasn't true. In fact, Stone's always been part of the 2016 campaign and thereafter. So the lesson for the president is stay away from people like this. Okay, maybe you had associations in the past, but now you're president of the United States.
And the more associations they convict for the president, one of them is going to bring up pay dirt, folks. Whether it's legitimate on the president's side or not doesn't matter, right?
You don't need to hang around people like Roger Stone. You don't need their advice. You don't need to hang around people like Paul Manafort, Roger Stone's former partner at Black Manafort, Stone & Kelly, or Rick Gates, who was deputy campaign manager in 2016 under Manafort. Gates had worked for Stone and Manafort and that firm as well, Black Manafort, Stone & Kelly. See, this is something that you really need to understand, is that you are who you associate with. And if you don't associate with good, honest people, it's going to rub off on you. And I'm afraid that this conviction is going to have a negative impact on the president under these circumstances of when the witch hunt to try to impeach him is going forward in the House and later in the Senate. So the president needs to be very circumspect about how he comports himself into the future. You know, and I love the president, and he's one of a kind. If he goes down, we all go down. And I'm doing everything I can to defend him. But I'm talking to him clearly because he has not had clear advice in the past, whether it's about appointing judges or whether about some other things. He has made a mistake to hang around people like Roger Stone. And he's been.
And this is my opinion. I've explained this. It's the people that are surrounding the Donald that will sink him. The swamp is too vicious. They will turn on you in a second. And I know Donald has pretty good savvy about this. He grew up in New York and, you know, he's been in the New York business world for a long time. He's pretty good at this. But so was Roger Stone. Eventually, you know what? They will uncover the pay dirt. Donald's in trouble. And this is the proof.
He better not do it in the future because they're going to take him down. Now, let's talk about Stone's defense in this case. It was a pathetic defense. His lawyers were almost like the Three Stooges. I could not believe it. They were smiling during the trial. They were slapping the prosecutors on the back, shaking their hands. It looked like it just wasn't serious. And then to make matters worse, they didn't even present any witnesses. They just played 58 minutes of Stone's appearance before the House Intelligence Committee. And this is something that is very, very perplexing because, you know, these lawyers obviously recommended to Stone that he waive his Speedy Trial Acts, which Stone did. Generally, you have to be tried within 60 days, but they waived it. They gave the government 9 months to prepare, and they weren't prepared at all. And I got to tell you something.
See, why would you ever give the government more time? See, something's not right with this deal here, folks. I don't know what's going on, but I'm telling you right now, you can't trust it.
If Stone has any defense at this point, it's ineffective assistance of counsel, which he should raise on appeal. And I'm not exactly in his court in terms of getting off the hook here. In fact, I think he should do the time. But the fact is that these lawyers were actually a joke, and everybody in the courthouse saw it. And how is it that Stone claims to have raised $2 million to pay for his legal defense fund, and he gets the Three Stooges to defend him? And I'm not talking about Mo Curley and Larry either, even though yours truly was in the courtroom. I'm talking about lawyers from South Florida, who frankly were out of their league. They didn't know what they were doing, and it looked like they did little to no preparation. So this is something that needs to be addressed when people go out there and they raise money to try to defend themselves. If they're taking your money, they should at least take it and hire competent people to defend them. But it didn't happen here. But I'm going to be right back with the second segment of Special Prosecutor with Larry Klayman. I'm going to tell you my history with Roger Stone and why I feel the way I do and why I'm
warning. His history with Roger Stone, I think, is critical to understand. You know, this is serious business here that Larry Klayman is talking about. And I don't agree with Larry on everything, but I agree with Larry on most things. Larry's right about this. What's going on with the Three Stooges defending after raising a bunch of money for your defense and the slam dunk? Now, where's the rest of the money? Where's the money everybody donated going to, huh?
Warning the president nicely, as a friend, to stay away from Stone and people like that. If he's going to avoid impeachment and conviction, if he's going to go on and be successful, he needs to do it on his own. He doesn't need advice from people like this. So until that time, go to freedomwatchusa.org. Contribute to our cause.
We I'm going to fast forward through this here.
And that's why join
a little bit. But this is worth hearing. And I didn't have time to get everything edited the way I needed
fearless.
To.
He's claiming he's crazy, he's racist, he's out to kill the Democrats.
Dangerous.
Yeah, this is information on Larry here.
Day.org.
Let me tell you a little bit about my history with Roger Stone. And you can also see it and read it by getting my book, Whores, Why and How I Came to Fight the Establishment. I met Roger many, many years ago because at Black Manafort, Stone and Kelly, he and some others were supporting Congressman Jack Kemp.
Wow, Jack Kemp comes into play. See, this is very, very interesting. How many of you know this history? So I normally don't play a ton of sound bites on the radio, but I am today for a variety of reasons. It's critical that you know this stuff. And I don't want to pretend that I have all the information. I want to give credit to who deserves connecting the dots here. And so I'm playing more sound bites than I normally would. Hang tight. We'll get back to it. You'll hear Larry Klayman speaking out about this in seconds on Liberty Roundtable Live.
Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they have this tendency to try to, tilt things in their direction.
There's no vote.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. Then you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
All right, we're listening to Larry Klayman break it down, how he knows Roger Stone. Roger Stone convicted folks on all counts. Wow. Larry Klayman was in the courtroom. Larry Klayman is defending Jerome Corsi, who did not go to jail, did not have to testify, who did not compromise. So good for Larry and good for our buddy Jerome Corsi. But shame on Roger Stone. Anyway, here's Larry.
I really liked Kemp. He was the first Republican, I thought, that could unite.
So he's talking about Jack Kemp and how that eventually led Larry and Roger to know each other.
Republicans and conservatives after Ronald Reagan. He was a protege of Ronald Reagan. He was, of course, a quarterback, a very good quarterback of the Buffalo Bills, and he became congressman from the Buffalo area. Well, I got to know Kemp, and of course I got to know Stone, because Stone was the main guy that was trying to promote Kemp. And ironically, sitting on the Executive Finance Committee, and I was also in that committee, was Donald Trump, none other than Donald Trump. Fast forward. In 1996, Roger was alleged to have been involved in a swingers party. In fact, he was filmed at a swingers party in a toga with his then wife. And I represented Roger. We had gotten to know each other over the years, and I got the media off his back. They were camped out in front of his house because he was the answer to Dick Morris. Dick Morris had been caught with a prostitute sucking her toe at the Jefferson Hotel, and Clinton had to fire him. It became too hot, the heat in the kitchen, notwithstanding Clinton's own sexual escapades. And, of course, when I ran my Senate campaign, as you'll see in my book, Roger was my campaign manager for a few weeks. He had been recommended to me by a mutual friend, Scott Reed, who was the chief of staff to Jack Kemp at the time. May Jack's soul rest in peace. He's since deceased. And I told Roger at the time, because, you know, he does have a good political mind. I said, you cannot do any dirty tricks. You can't represent anyone else. You have to be exclusive to me. And sure enough, he went off. And he was two-timing me, representing, if you can believe this, Al Sharpton in his campaign in New York. In fact, that came out during the trial. Credico had actually recommended Stone, Credico being Stone's friend, and one of the so-called intermediaries to WikiLeaks that became part of this trial, so material. But I let Stone go after a few weeks because I could not work with somebody who was doing those kinds of things. And he brought a lot of his people into my campaign. They wound up leaving with my computers, my cell phones, and other things. I was out a couple $100,000 of my own money by the time I was done with Roger Stone. So I had a bad experience with Stone, and I think maybe he felt when I began to represent Dr. Corsi with regard to Mueller and the Russian witch hunt that somehow I had it in for him, and I didn't. I was simply representing Corsi. But Stone can't resist himself. He's always got to be on the attack. He's always got to smear people. You know, he doesn't tell the truth. Now he's been convicted for that and could get 50 years for that and witness tampering, obstruction of justice. He's going to get something. I don't know if it'll be 50. But he feared Corsi. So therefore, he had to defame Corsi, and he felt that he had to defame me. And then he has surrogates file bar complaints against me, which take up a lot of time. They're frivolous, but I have to deal with them. And as I said, that was one method. He tried to intimidate and tamper with a witness that came out during this trial where he was convicted of witness tampering. And this is what you're dealing with here. And my moral to this story is that, you know, justice applies to everybody. And we're going to make sure that justice does occur with regard to the Bidens, with our citizens' grand juries. We're going to try Mueller. We've already indicted him for witness tampering with Dr. Corsi. We're going to hold Obama accountable. We're going to hold Hillary accountable. We already have. We indicted her years ago for breaches of national security. Comey, McCabe, Strzok, Page, Orr. Everybody should be held accountable, but that does not exonerate Roger Stone. So when you hear people out there running interference for him, whether it's Tucker Carlson, Laura Ingraham, whether it's Alex Jones, whether it's his friends down in South Florida who don't understand what's going on, you know, take it with more than a grain of salt. It's simple nonsense. And you have to recognize that if we're going to keep the other people's house in order, the Democrats and the left, then we have to keep our own house in order. And that's why, you know, good riddance to Roger Stone. Frankly, I hope he does time because he deserves to do time. And that's why a lot of people came into this trial, whether it was Bannon or whether it was Gates or whether it was Credico. He had made them enemies, and they wound up testifying against him because he had pulled similar tricks with them, and they didn't forget, and they came after him. Not that they're perfect people either, believe me. When I come back, I'm going to talk about my reaction to this, is what's been going on in terms of the Justice Department, in terms of our justice system. Because it's very important for you to understand.
This is important to understand our justice system and what's going on, ladies and gentlemen. This is serious, serious business because
in their little pants,
it'll affect the president, right? The president of the United States might get caught up in all this.
One who, in a prior case, dismissed my lawsuit against Hillary Clinton, which I brought for Charles Woods and Patricia Smith, their sons, Sean Smith and Ty Woods, died at Benghazi. I had alleged, correctly, that Hillary's use of a private email server was hacked, which we know it was. That was admitted to by Comey. And as a result, the terrorists found their way to the ambassador, Ty Woods and Sean Smith, and killed them and killed others, murdered them. I had also sued Hillary Clinton on behalf of Charles Woods, the father of Ty Woods, and Patricia Smith, the mother of Sean Smith, for defamation, for calling my clients liars about the causes of the murders. You know, you remember Hillary, some Muslims for a walk in the woods someday just decided to do this because they saw a video of Muhammad that they didn't like. Well, they knew otherwise, our clients, and they were called liars. In fact, they recorded it in a diary. Charles Wood recorded what Hillary said in a diary. Case was assigned to Amy Berman Jackson. On the eve of Memorial Day, she dismisses the case, really without cause. It was a phony dismissal. Now, you have to ask yourself the question, why would a federal judge dismiss a case upon the grieving Gold Star parents of fallen heroes of Benghazi on the eve of Memorial Day? And, you know, it just blew my mind. And then I took the matter up to the D.C. Circuit Court, the appellate court, and we got three leftist judges, and they affirmed her decision. You know, and we've talked last week and the week before about the politicization of our judiciary, how we have politicians in robes, and that's a problem right now. But in the context of this case, it was very interesting because Amy Berman Jackson, who has been under a lot of criticism for how tough she was on Paul Manafort and others, who was under criticism from me with regard to the Benghazi case and others in other cases. She doesn't like conservatives. She's pretty far left. She did make a special effort to at least create the appearance of impartiality. She bent over backwards for Stone. In fact, she complimented him and his lawyers. Frankly, they didn't deserve compliments. She even gratuitously tried to suggest that they weren't involved in some of the attacks on the juries that occurred by Tucker Carlson. You know, Roger Stone writes or wrote for the Daily Caller. Tucker Carlson started the Daily Caller. I believe he still owns, you know, some of the shares in that, or at least is part owner. And this is what Stone does. See, these are his dirty tricks. This is why he calls himself the preeminent dirty trickster. And to use somebody like Tucker to try to intimidate the jury, you know, frankly, is very, very dangerous. It's inappropriate. But she went light on Stone, even though she obviously knew who was behind that. And it's something that the prosecutors knew was behind it. Now, one of the things about Amy Berman Jackson that she's been accused of doing was packing the jury. Yes, she took a view of who should be on the jury, which was, you know, very broad. If a juror came in and said that I could be fair and impartial, didn't matter whether they had worked in the Obama administration or whether their husband worked for the criminal division of the Justice Department or whether they had friends, for instance, in the U.S. Attorney's Office. That juror, by the way, was stricken. She was never part of the jury. But it is true, it's technically true, that you can't strike jurors for cause. You can because you have five peremptory challenges that you can use for whatever reason on both sides. Each side has five. You can strike them for whatever reason you want, and some of them were. But I've got to tell you, this was a District of Columbia jury, and you're going to get a lot of government people. You're going to get people on the left. 90% of the people that live in this city voted for Obama and voted for Hillary Clinton, may even be a higher percentage. So she didn't do anything wrong there either. But what really strikes me as strange is that Stone's lawyers, who I call the Three Stooges, never moved to change venue. They made no effort to get the case out of the District of Columbia, much less have the case tried quickly before the government could be prepared and put on a really strong case. And they had 9 months to do it, the government. Now, I don't know what the Three Stooge lawyers did during those 9 months, because they had no defense. They were stumbling on, you know, doing their questioning. They were rifling through documents. One of the lawyers, I don't want to use names, I'm not going to disparage people in public, but I got to be critical as a fellow lawyer. I mean, in the opening argument, he says, I think the evidence will show. Well, you know, you better know what the evidence will show. If you're defending someone who's been charged with seven felony counts, you think? And that's not even the half of it. So the case was fairly tried. And on the to the contrary, despite the incompetence of Stone's lawyers, the government's lawyers, so-called government, some of them were holdover Mueller prosecutors like Aaron Zelinsky. This fellow Kravis is a very smart guy, very excellent. They had 9 months to prepare. So when they put a witness on the stand, they not only asked him or her questions, they put court transcripts up there or hearing transcripts, and then they had audio. Sometimes they had video. They laced it in. It was entertaining. The jury was enthralled. It was easy to understand. They repeated themselves in terms of what they were trying to prove two or three times. You know, repetition. It's advertising is good with repetition.
All right. I don't have time for the rest of it. We're running out of time, but I'm telling you, Larry Klayman's on target on this. And I'm telling you, repeating things a couple of times for effect or for necessity, I'm telling you right now that Donald Trump very well could be in trouble. And the problem with Donald is he has not drained the swamp like we had hoped. He's surrounded by the extremists in Washington who hate his guts, who want to down him. Now, maybe Donald's part of it. I don't know. You know, I sometimes think in my mind that Donald Trump is part of the swamp. That's why he won't drain the swamp. And when he hangs around guys like Roger Stone and stuff like this, I'm not here to attack Roger, but I am here to say those dirty trickster stuff that Roger claims that he is and does, and they'll come back to bite you. Lying is not good. And President Trump, as long as you allow this impeachment proceeding to continue, and as long as you allow folks like Hillary and Barack Obama and others run around free, taking money from who knows where, they will eventually get you if you give them enough time. And I don't know what the plan is for the 2020 election, but I'm telling you, if you're around long enough, Donald, they will get you. That's what the swamp does. They're incredibly good at it. Make no mistake. They're super good at what they do. And just a final wrap up on this. Believe it or not, G. Edward Griffin says bankers are going for broke right now because the economy is broke. G. Edward Griffin reveals why the bankers are flooding the economy with money in anticipation of a global collapse. G. Edward Griffin poses thought-provoking questions about how Donald Trump was elected, his relationship with Henry Kissinger and George Soros, and his reversal on campaign promises, etc., etc. You got to wonder, folks. What's going on? Are we all being played for suckers? Well, I'm still grateful for the good Donald's done, regardless of it all. I'm grateful for the pro-life stand that he's made. I'm grateful for the more conservative folks on the courts. And I'm grateful that you and I could still have free speech in the media. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic.